Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program on Health Star Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Join Dave and his guests now and every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Health Star Worldwide as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day so you can live your caregiver life more fully and abundantly. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. Yes, folks, I am the guy, Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, who's going to help get you through this day without going through burnout. And we're talking to you today from the We're coming to you live globally through the famous Health Star Worldwide Radio Network. Yes, folks, even the radio host can have brain freeze. It happens. I've seen it. It's not pretty. Okay, so we're going to help get you through this difficult journey called caregiving, and we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called, you know what it's called, caregiver burnout. It's awful sounding, and it's awful living. Now, we have an exciting show planned for you today. Actually, my co-host, Adrian Gruberg from the Caregiver Space, she couldn't make it today. It's always a sad day when Adrian can't join me here. But a double whammy, my scheduled guest had to call in and cancel as well. So I'm going to have my engineer, Blade, there, the famous Blade, and he's going to interview me on what I was going to interview my guest. So today is just kind of an experimental show. We're going to see if it all works out. And Blade said he learned a few tricks about blabs. See if he can dazzle us with his brilliance. Hey, if you're new to the show, and we get many new listeners every week, especially here on Blab, I'm your host, Dave Nassani, and this show is the caregivers of every kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers, yep, they're real special people. But they're caring, they're selfless, they're sacrificial, they're empathetic, all those wonderful, wonderful things. But oh yeah, they got this bad habit. They're very prone to burnout, you know, because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own, you know, like the airplane, put your own mask on first before you help your kid with their needs. Well, caregivers are the same way, you know, and I don't know if we're ever going to change them, but we can sure try. Hey, we also talk about grief and loss here, the devastating effects it can have on us. It automatically throws us into this other thing, just we need another thing, and it's called the grief process. Ouch, and there's no shortcut. Nope, I'm having trouble talking today, Blade. Can you, like, help me out here?
Shortcuts.
There is no shortcuts, thank you, to grief. You got to go through grief, you know? You can't go around it, can't go over it, can't go under it. Got to go through it, and it's not fun. It's kind of like childbirth, you know? You got this baby in you. It's coming out, man. And, like, personal experience, I kind of had a baby a few weeks ago. It was called a kidney stone. And that has to come out, too. No shortcuts with that. So hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to feel like you're stuck.
Okay. And there's no epidurals for caregivers, Dave, is there?
There is no epidurals for caregivers.
Like there are for having a baby, but maybe there is. Maybe there's a certain drug you guys could take that would help you avoid burnout. Maybe there's a certain...
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe we can invent a drug here, right on the air today, Blade.
It can be done. Tequila. No, that won't help. It won't.
Well, I want to thank last week's guests, Adrian, of course, and what was her name? I think it was Joan Roca. Does that sound right?
June Roca.
Oh, I was so close. So close. Forgive me, June, for crucifying your name. But great show. All of our shows are reported podcasts here. You can go to my website, caregiverscaregiver.com, and hear it all. And this one as well will be broadcast also. All right, enough of that. Blade, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this interview of me today. I really appreciate it. Thank you for engineering the show to make sure it sounds good and all that stuff. So what... why don't we just begin, Blade, by interviewing, not interviewing, but asking you to introduce. I just have to talk slowly today, and all the words will come out properly. Introduce yourself and let us know, who is Blade, the engineer?
That's what I do. I'm an engineer, and I turn up knobs, and I make sure everybody sounds right. And it's difficult to do, but it can be done. And whenever there's an issue, and it's the internet, so there are issues, the answer is always, I don't know. But I'll fix it.
So, and I'd like Marianne to join us, because she's just a wonderful person who I love. And every time I see Marianne, I say, I love you, Marianne. So let me bring her in. I think, I don't know how to bring her in. I don't see her. She isn't in the normal place.
She has to call in first, and she may or may not.
Well, there we go.
Okay.
See, she is listening. Mm-hmm. So, Marianne, you're almost here. It's like, beam me up, Scotty. And, you know, she's like, okay, there. Hi, Marianne. Can we hear
you? Hello.
Oh, good. It's always great when you can hear the guests.
Absolutely. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good. Blade was just about to introduce himself. So go ahead, Blade.
Well, I'm Blade, and I don't have a last name. And I'm here in Scottsdale, Arizona, which is the home base for Dave Nassani's program, Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver. And we do a show weekly every Tuesday at 1 o'clock Pacific
time. And next week we're probably going to have maybe a new time, noon, but Blade's going to check with that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll go a little bit earlier, depends on the time that's best to have specific guests on. And so that's what I would do. As a producer and engineer, you make sure everything goes right. And it's not always like that, where everything goes right. But most of the time it does. When it does go wrong, my job is to fix it, and I'm pretty good at that. But you could ask anybody. There's all kinds of technical glitches. But if I'm doing my job right as a producer, you'll never know I'm here. You know?
But that rarely happens, right?
Never. Always a phone call, and always a post-show meeting, and always a text after. What happened? Why didn't you? I want my. You know, that's how that.
Those are the three categories.
Right, Marianne? Yeah, those are the three.
You always fixed it for me.
And Dave said those are the three categories, but that's a lot of caregiving kind of categories, too. Where is my, and why didn't you, and can I have my? You know,
that's true.
That is so good, Blade.
Isn't that
I'm going to let you just jump off onto that and go into that. Marianne, why don't you just tell us who you are briefly, and why has God put you on this green earth?
Wow, that's a huge question.
Is that too deep to start with?
No. Is my sound coming through okay?
Well, it could be better, but, you know, we can hear something.
Isn't she louder than the rest of us a little bit?
I don't know.
Okay.
Am I?
A little bit.
Well, anyway.
That's because she's holding it right up to her lips like that, you know.
Should I put it down like this? Is this better?
Yes.
Okay, cool. A lot of people say that they can't hear me well.
If you pin it on your lapel, it's even better, you know. But I don't know if you could do that.
Not going to happen.
Not today. Yes. Well, I only have a few minutes, and I just wanted to stop in and say hi. This is Marianne Amon, Create Your Magnificent Life Now, and I am on this planet to help encourage people to don't give up on their dreams and to whatever the obstacles are, there's a way to get over them. And but I wanted to join your call today because I actually have a question.
Well, we are the question answerers here, aren't we? What's your question?
Well, my question...
Caller, what's your question?
My question is this, because I noticed that feeling overwhelmed, burned out, hopeless, helpless, that's your opening to your... And I have actually a friend who is going through that right now. She works a full-time job. She is desiring to promote her book, finish her book, promote her book, get into another line of work. So she's been working behind the scenes while she's not working at her job. But she also has a sister that she lives with her, who's disabled.
Oh.
And she has two little kids, the sister that she's caring for. And now that sister just went into the hospital with conditions. So my friend is quite overwhelmed trying to be everything to everybody. And her job is extremely demanding. And when people don't fulfill their end of the obligation, it gets dumped on her. So it increases her workload. So how does she ever get to really fulfill her own dreams when everybody else has got these urgent crisis type of needs? I mean, I have my own opinions, but you're the expert in caregiving.
Well, Marianne, this is such a hard question because it really has to do with the makeup of a caregiver, which she obviously is. Caregivers are caring and loving and sympathetic and empathetic, and they give and they give and they give until there is absolutely nothing left to give. Mm-hmm. And then they get sick and they become sicker than the person they're caring for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can tell them, don't do that until you're blue in the face, and they just can't help it. They're hardwired that way. The best maybe we can hope to is that they just bring it down a few more notches and become just a little more selfish, that dirty word that they think is just nasty, but it's Blade, it's okay to be a little selfish, just a little,
it
right?
Is. Yeah.
Because the Bible says, love your neighbor, and you finish it, as you love yourself. As you love yourself. Now, just tell me, what if we aren't loving ourselves properly? Does that mean we're not loving our neighbors properly?
Probably.
You think? So we have to explain to this person, your friend, and I'm assuming it's not you, because everyone has a friend, it's usually them, but I know it's not you.
It's not you.
So you have to explain to this friend that I said, you know, the expert in burnout, that, and I think I know who you're talking about, that they have to just stop what you're doing. And just close your eyes and just connect with God or their higher power or whoever they think is running this place in the universe and say, I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. I can't change people. I can't change the world. I can change my little section of the world. But what they have to do, Marianne, is they have to realize that they need to put themselves first. Okay, they need to come first. Like the analogy, every time they fly a plane, in the event of an emergency and the oxygen mask falls from the sky, put your mask on first before you help your little child with their mask. Now, I guarantee if you put 100 parents in a room with 100 two-year-olds and an emergency happened on a plane, let's say they were in a plane, and all oxygen masks fell out of the ceiling, I guarantee you 99 out of those 100 parents are going to try to put that mask on first. Why? Because they love that child. They would die for that child. And it just sounds so selfish. What do you mean put my mask on first? You know, and until they just get this concept that it's really, really, really important, because airlines know that when they do that, they black out. You know, it doesn't take too many seconds before the oxygen in the brain, you know, you're like dizzy and then you're black and then you're boom. And then there's no one to put that little kid's mask on first. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the Bible uses a lot of analogies and picture stories and stuff like that. And that's the best that I can hope, is that they see this picture of this mother attempting to put on this child's mask, and then the mother blacks out and then the child blacks out. And that's a story that doesn't have a happy ending. But if they would have just taken, 3 seconds, 1, 2, 3, boom, put your mask on first. And sometimes that's all it takes to just, you know, take care of yourself first. Now, that's a long answer to a very short question. I don't know.
Well, and I like how you describe that, too. You know, I mean, just the visual of thinking that if you don't have enough air, you start to black out, and then now you're both blacked out, you know? And I think you also hit the nail on the head, and you said their makeup is to be a giver. Their makeup is anti-selfishness. Anti-selflessness. Anti-selfishness. No.
Which is selfless.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, too many negatives there.
Exactly. Yeah. And and it just goes against their grain, you know, but it's totally right. And I'm going to pass on this video to her, you know, afterwards.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, because I think it's absolutely true. In the normal way things go, if you take that stand and be more selfish, as you say, as calling it a dirty word, but it's great. If that's the normal route for you, then when you get into a crisis, then you can put aside your own things for that crisis. But if you're always doing it, then you don't have any reserve even for the crisis.
That's right.
You know? So, and I think that's where she is right now. She needs that reserve, and she hasn't been building up that reserve, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like a checking account, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to make deposits into the account. Deposit,
yeah.
Be nice to me. I'm gonna go to Starbucks and have a latte. I'm going to go get a massage. I'm going to take a moment and Calgon take me away back.
Yes.
You know? I'm going to do all these things for me. So you're building up the balance, you know? And then when crisis comes, you've got something to draw down on. But otherwise, most people are overdrawn.
Yeah.
Caregivers are overdrawn. So when a crisis comes, it's over. Game over. Thanks for playing. But I want to talk about tough love for a moment, because usually caregivers really get the concept of tough love, because every caregiver knows a drug addict or something, right? It could be a close friend or a husband, father, son, etc. And so they know all about tough love. They know that they're not going to change that drug addict's mind. They know that drug addict is not giving up drugs until they decide to give it up. That I could want it more than they want it, and that isn't going to do it. They've got to want it more than I want it. So how about tough love on ourselves? Right?
That's good.
Because unless we have to be tough on ourselves to be selfish.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I mean, these words, like, they're so revolutionary. They don't even go together. You know, I sound like Donald Trump here for a moment. just paradigm shift, you know?
Right. That's absolutely true.
Anything to add to that, Mr. Blade, Mr. Fix-It Man? Blade can fix anything. I'm sure he can fix a caregiver.
What? Yeah. If I were to have to, this is probably why I'm not a caregiver, but if I were to have to be, think more about myself first so I could provide good care, then I'd never think about who I was caring for. It would be all over. So I'm not in the right business when it comes down to that. Because I'm just not. But I do know when enough is enough for my own self. I do know that. Isn't that important too? Okay, enough is enough, and that's all I can do, and I can't do no mo. Isn't that it? Isn't that a big rule?
Uh-huh. Who are you asking that to?
You.
Me. I was sending a message to somebody who was out there and just saying hello. So just repeat the question. I'm sorry. I wasn't listening.
Well, you have to tell yourself, and I know I'm pretty much right in this. You have to tell yourself that enough's enough, and you have to draw the line at when you can only give so much. And so you have to know your own limits.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you have to know yourself? Yeah.
And discipline and just do it. You know, all the tough love stuff. I agree. We all agree.
Hey, what I want to know is a quick question here, very quick, and it shouldn't be too difficult, but I always wonder when it changed from caretaker to caregiver and why. The official term.
Because caretakers kind of sound like somebody who cares for a property, right? The caretaker of the estate, the caretaker of the cemetery.
That's good.
That is good.
That is good. Yeah. Caregiver does sound more humane, doesn't
more
it?
Sensitive, yes.
It does, right?
Yeah,
and,
it does.
You know, in this society, we're just redefining all these words, you know.
I know, right?
You can't.
Because we get to.
Yeah. You know.
I would like to.
You can't say Oriental anymore. You got to say Asian, you know.
Right. Better watch that.
You got to watch that.
I don't have a sensitivity about it, but so many people I know, they say, you're not a rug. You can't call yourself Oriental. I'm like, well, I can call myself anything I want, so shut up.
Now, is it okay to eat Oriental food? Or that, I don't know.
I'm fine with it. So,
Are you fine with this saying?
We're talking about the wackos.
Yeah, the rest of the world.
Oh, I just said a bad word.
Wackos?
Yeah. Bad word. I'm sure I offended somebody. Please forgive me.
But I would like to make a comment about Blade's comment about, you know, knowing when enough is enough, you know, and knowing when your limits have been breached.
All right.
And, you know, and I think that that's a really good, you know, a lot of people don't have that self-awareness. And that's really what it is. That's a self-awareness of giving yourself permission to even have those boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And to say that, you know, with those boundaries, I'm good. And I'm even more effective when I have those boundaries. And when I cross those boundaries, I have just lost effectiveness.
Yeah, boundaries are so important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if people are crossing boundaries, it's usually not their fault. Whose fault is it, Marianne?
It's yours for letting them.
Right. Because we never told them where the boundary was.
Right.
Of course they're going to cross it.
Yes. I love the saying. It says that we teach people how to treat us.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
We're in control of that, aren't we?
We are.
Mm-hmm. And it's all subtle and you know, subconscious.
Definitely.
Well, Blade, I think it's time for a break. What do you think?
Absolutely, man. Let's do it.
And I'm going to have to go because I have to get prepared for my show in a little while.
Tell us about your show in case someone wants to see more of you.
Oh, my show is coming up at 3 o'clock Pacific time with the wonderful Star Worldwide Networks as well. And today's show is going to be about for people who have ever felt like they get nervous when people ask the question, what do you charge?
Ooh, all right. Good.
And they get that little queasiness and that constriction in their throat or their chest, you know, and they get feeling awkward and just uncomfortable. So we're going to talk about that. And I'm going to also give four powerful reasons why you should charge well for your services.
And how does someone get to your website?
Well, it's going to be on the blab here too. Maybe I could put it in the thing here.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah.
And, okay, so that's my blab for later, or they can listen in on radio. So let me put that in here too. Meg.
And don't worry, we're not going to charge you for this plug.
It's this a free show.
This shameless plug.
It's not shameless. You invited me.
It's only shameless if I do it.
It's selfless. Yes. Selfless it is. All right.
The selfless plug.
I'm doing you all a favor by giving you my link.
That's
Amen. You're providing a service, Marianne. That's laugh all you want. That's true.
Well, that's why we allowed you on my show today.
That's
thank
right.
You. Thank
you're
you.
You're welcome. Well, blessings to you. And thank you for that little piece of, and I really am. I'm going to put your link onto my friend so she can rewatch it. Okay.
And then we'll say a little prayer and who knows what'll happen.
That's right. Thank you.
All right.
Bye, guys. Love ya.
We'll be right back.
Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and tune in to Dave, the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program on HealthStar Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. With roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, it's about one-third of the population. That means everybody probably knows somebody caring for a loved one. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Mothers of special needs children, family members caring for elderly parents, spouses, siblings, or friends caring for disabilities such as Alzheimer's, dementia, cancer, stroke, heart disease, diabetes, muscular dystrophy, AIDS, autoimmune diseases. The list goes on. Join Dave and his guests every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on HealthStar Worldwide as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. You'll start feeling better in no time as you begin to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help you get through the day and to live life more fully and abundantly.
Dave, me, and Engineer Blade. Is that what they call you, Blade? Engineer Blade?
No. Plain and simply Blade. That's it.
Blade.
Yep.
So Blade was going to ask me some questions before we were interrupted, and it's not an interruption whenever Marianne comes on the show. It's always a delight. So thank you again, Marianne. So what's up, Blade?
Okay, I always want to know how you get into being a caregiver, if you are one naturally, or if that dawned on you later in life. How about you personally, Dave?
Well, when I say caregivers are hardwired that way, they aren't necessarily caregivers, but they do all the same things that caregivers do. They may be counselors. They may be volunteers. They may be helping out at the hospital and stuff like that. So they're already kind of doing that kind of stuff. And I can hear a little echo in my background. I don't know why, but maybe that's on your end. Anyway, if they really want to get involved in caregiving, then all they have to do is, if a caregiver hasn't, if a care receiver hasn't found them already, which they will, because, you know, 1/3 of the population are already caregivers, 1/3 of the population needs a caregiver, and the other 1/3 are going to become caregivers. So, I mean, it's only a matter of time before you or someone you know is going to need your care. But I would go to nursing homes. If you've ever been to a nursing home, there are hundreds of needy elderly people whose children have abandoned them, and they're just sitting there staring at the walls, you know, with nothing but their memories to make them sad. And when somebody, my mother was in a nursing home, so when I would come, I'd bring my granddaughter sometimes, and you'd see that place just light up when they see this bundle of new life come in, because they're all kind of dying, and something that's vibrant and alive come in, they just boom, and, oh, you know, and they just come alive. And I'm saying, wow, you know, somebody needs to just do a ministry of bringing children. And I saw a video one time where this daycare center just visited a nursing home, and that place just went wild. So I don't know if I answered your question or not.
Well, yeah, you hear about how there are so many openings in positions like that. But, and just as you said, the home concerts like Janie Lighty does, you know, when they have people come in and play guitar and sign CDs and talk to the groups for a couple of hours or something like that. But yeah. So back to the caregiving thing. So I know your story about your wife, and that helped you learn about being a caregiver, and that's what you do. But have you ever before that had a caregiver position, Dave, where you quit, where you actually told yourself it's too much and it can't be effective to anyone this way?
Well, yes. In fact, you know, and I had to, I never even realized this until I became a caregiver, because I would think back on that and I'd say, you know, what was I doing before my wife had a stroke 20 years ago and I became her caregiver? Well, I didn't realize I was visiting this friend who was older now, and I was visiting her once a week and just being a friend, and she was, you know, what used to be called manic depressant, now they call it bipolar. So, I mean, she was a handful. Sometimes she'd call me in the middle of the night because she'd be freaking out, and I'd say, Marjorie, you're not allowed to, where did you get this number from? Because, you know, I don't give her my number. I call her, but somehow she got a hold of my number, and so I had to tell her, I'm hanging up now. If you don't call me, you know, during decent hours so I get my sleep, then I'm just going to end the relationship. Okay, I'm sorry. You know, and that's called boundaries. That's called tough love, because I know if I'm awoken in the middle of the night, I can't get back to sleep, and then I'm useless the whole next day. I says, I'm giving you all I can. I'm coming to see you like 3 hours once a week. And that was my giving time. And then one time I knocked on the door and there was no answer. And I got someone to open the door, the landlord. And there she was in her bed. She was there probably 4 or 5 days. She had died in her sleep. And she had this shocked look on her face like she saw a ghost, you know. And so that was that.
Yeah.
And before her, there was another guy who I have a gas station I used to buy my parts from. And he got older and older and older. And he was really got more and more obese. And I started visiting him. And so I guess I've always kind of been doing this on my terms and, you know, squeezed in between my things. So maybe that prepared me for what I've been doing for the last 20 years. Who knows?
It does. I can see how it does prepare you. But I just wonder if, and maybe you know some people that said, this person is entirely too much and I can't handle it anymore. I'm going to freak out. So do you know of anybody who's actually had to fire their caregivees?
Well, that story that I just told was kind of that, you know, because she was crossing the lines, crossing the boundaries, and she knew where the boundaries were. And so I threatened to fire her. And I says, if you don't do this and this and this and jump through all these hoops, because, I mean, you're not even related to me. I don't have to do this. I'm doing this out of the kindness and the goodness of my heart. You know, kind of like your neighbor who all of a sudden, you know, asked you to do a favor. Next thing you know, you're caring for him months later. And then he started, like, taking advantage of you and being rude to you and just expecting you to be there all the time, you know.
Classic
stuff. That was your fault. You didn't draw boundaries, you know. But then, you know, you make a couple of subtle threats and bam, they snap right into line. And so on. So did I actually fire anybody? I'd have to really think back. No, usually, you know, I'm just so wonderful that usually the threat of losing me strains
them right
people
out.
And I think that would work for any caregiver. You know, I liken it to a poker game. You know, I've got all the aces and they've got nothing. So I have all the power. So, you know, I hate to put it in that way, but it's true. There's nothing worse than seeing this gigantic elephant with a little thread tied around their leg and it's down on a stake. And that elephant thinks that they can't pull that stake up with their mighty power. You know how that happened, Blaine? Because when they were a little itty bitty elephant, they did it. And that elephant tried to pull that stake out, that baby elephant, and he couldn't, he wasn't strong enough because, you know, it was too, and as that elephant grew and grew and grew, it became a non-issue. But that elephant said, no, I tried that. It didn't work. For 50 years, I tried that. It didn't work. And people are like that too. So you've got to, nothing worse than seeing a caregiver, and I see him every day, who has all the power. This care receiver couldn't survive 1 minute without this person. And they're ordering him around. They're being rude. They're doing this. I wouldn't put up with that. Oh, well, they don't mean it. Oh, well, they don't, you know. I says, you have all the power. You just have to tell them, listen, I'm giving you an ultimatum. If you want me to stay here, it's going to be on my terms. Otherwise, like Donald Trump would say, you're fired. See ya. Get him out of here. You know, and I'm sorry to be so blunt like that, but I'm just trying to make a comical point. There's no reason for it. And if you continue to do it after I just explained what's going on, then you're a martyr, a sadist. You like pain or you're suicidal. I don't know how else to put it.
Do you think that people that love people are better caregivers, or people that are desensitized to people are better caregivers? Because it could go either way. I can see both working.
Great question. Well, it depends on how strong they are, you know, and how much discipline they have, and how wise they are, and how well their boundaries are. So let's just qualify that. If you're a really, really weak person, you know, then it's better to be a desensitized caregiver and just kind of go through the motions and do it. Although, you know, it, of course, it's much better to be a caregiver who's doing it out of the goodness of your heart. But all you have to do is look at the paid caregiver industry, you know, and there's a lot of caregivers who are paid to do this. This is how they make their living, and they can't survive without not caregiving. In fact, June last week, our guest talked about that. Remember? She saw something that was going on and it upset her. It wasn't even her patient. It was a fellow caregiver, paid caregiver. And he was kind of abusing this woman, and she told the authorities and they didn't do anything about it. So she quit because she didn't want to just watch it. So she's obviously someone who cares about her job, is in it for the love and all of those things that all of those right things that people should be a caregiver for. But, you know, to answer your question, it's a tough question. To desensitize yourself, you know, that kind of means that you've taken your heart and soul out of it, and you're just going through the motions, and you're just, it's just a job.
But you might be more effective that way.
Well, maybe, but maybe you're not more effective. Maybe you're not being very compassionate. Maybe you're not being very empathetic. Maybe the tone in your voice is kind of harsh or has some edge to it, you know. And care receivers know when they're loved. They know when they care, you know. What's that old saying? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And, you know, I have a gas station a lot of times, and many times a caregiver will come in with their elderly parent, And in fact, you know, Jack Palance, the guy who was on the movie, what is it, with Billy Crystal, you know, he was a cowboy.
City Slickers.
City Slickers. He came in my gas station one time, and this, he was old. This was before he died. I mean, he was had to be in his 90s. And the guy is still huge, you know, and he was with his daughter, a little short thing. And so I looked at him, and I'm saying, are you – and he said, no. I says, oh, okay. And his daughter looked at me and says, don't mind him. He's real crotchety. Yes, it's him. And so you know, I just wonder what their relationship is like, you know, at home. And then other people will come in, and their parent will be touching the stuff on the counter. Oh, look at this. Don't touch that. What's the matter with you? How many times I got to tell you? I should have left you in the car. You know, just totally disrespecting them, you know. And so that they might be the person you're describing, someone who's desensitized themselves because, you know, they can't take it. My advice probably is if you can't take being a caregiver and you have to turn into that person, then you better find something else to do. Because you're not going to, you may be a caregiver, but you won't be an effective caregiver. Because caregiving has to be given with love, you know?
I was thinking that, I was thinking about veterinarians, you know, and how much people love animals and how, boy, you can't really love animals really and be sensitive and caring and loving to animals and then cut them apart. Maybe you can. You have to kind of disassociate yourself.
You mean literally cut them apart?
I do mean literally. You know, so you have to kind of disassociate yourself and take a more clinical approach, which is why I was thinking you could be effective if you took a clinical approach as a caregiver. Uh-huh. You know, I was just thinking that. But so let me ask you, man, personally, do you I bet you've had the discussion with yourself. God, I'm just too burnt out. I'm going to need a month off. And what is the most burnout you've ever been? And what did you do to fix it? You look fresh. You look healthy. You know, you've been through all this.
Yes, yes, yes. The first 2 years of my wife's stroke was terrible. Because she was a great person. She was like a cross between Martha Stewart and Wonder Woman. And she was just living life to its fullest. She was doing stuff. And all of a sudden, boom, knocked on the side of the head. Might as well with a brick, you know, because she lost her speech. She had a stroke. They don't know why it happened. She was healthy. None of the high risk factors were involved. And she was paralyzed on her right side. And so when she came home after 6 weeks in the hospital and 6 weeks of home health care, and basically, you know, she still couldn't talk. Her right side still didn't work. And she was mad at the world. She was going through the grief process. She was going through, you know, the denial, the anger, the, you know, the bargaining, the loneliness, the depression. And so, you know, like the Mills Brothers sang a song, you only hurt the ones you love, the ones you shouldn't hurt at all. And I was the only one around to take the brunt of her unhappiness. And it was miserable. And I was definitely burned out. And so being someone who always believed this stuff of putting yourself first and taking care of you, I set up some vacations for myself. Weekend trips out of the state with relatives that I would never go see myself because, you know, it takes money and it takes time. But I sought out these nurturing relationships from loving relatives that lived far away. And I just brought a babysitter in for my wife, a caregiver, and told her I had a business meeting or something. And I don't remember what I told her. But if I told her that I was going away to get away from her, that would like hurt her feelings. So I know I didn't tell her that. I didn't tell her anything that would hurt her or make her feel bad or make her feel jealous that I get to go away and you're stuck here and stuff like that. But yeah, I did it several times. And I came back rejuvenated, recharged, and, you know, ready to conquer the world again until the next time came. So then I would do it before I got to a desperate situation. I would feel it coming on and I would plan a little trip. And so I highly recommend that they do that. Other caregivers, find out where your limits are. And, you know, it's like your cell phone, right? It says, starts blinking, danger, danger, you know, you're running out of juice. Well, you know, as well as I do, when it's at that point, there aren't too many things you can do. The screen goes dim. You can't use your flash camera. You want to get this camera charged and this phone charged when you still have some juice left, maybe 15, 20%. Don't wait till it's down to 2%. And that's what the caregivers should do as well.
You know what? We can take a break in a couple of minutes, but I've heard stories, Dave, and I know what you went through. I've heard stories of spouses that were stuck in that situation, of that caretaking situation, which to me is just incredibly heartbreaking. And I can imagine how it would be with my wife. And, you know, here's the deal. It's like you slide the ring on and you've just said, in till death do we part, and in good health
sickness,
or bad, sickness
yeah.
or whatever the saying is, you know, I said it once. And I know people that have left their husbands and spouses and, yep. and wives and husbands in that situation. I can't take this. And they've left them.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, it just depends on how serious they took their vows and how much integrity they have, you know, because there are people who serve their divorce papers while their spouse is still in the hospital recovering from whatever ailment they had. I mean, you know, so it happens. And it's not right. It's not good. But, you know, obviously they there are a lot of marriages for a lot of different reasons. Some marry for love, some marry for money, some marry for influence, some marry so they're not lonely. And when that thing that they married for is no longer applicable, they can very easily turn their back and leave. You know, so unless you're marrying for the right reasons, that spouse is going to leave you.
Yep. Isn't that it? But
only God never leaves you nor forsakes you. All
right.
Other people will disappoint and mess you up.
That's right. And that is right. I've got more interview questions for you, man, after the break. Hey. What do you say?
You're doing a good job.
All right. More coming.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is a touching story about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resembled that of both a Martha Stewart and Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on her right side. She met her husband Dave 21 years earlier. They had a wonderful, fairy tale, storybook-like courtship that soon culminated in their marriage. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years, she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left, finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn. She started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought them all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, their love then produced Rebecca. They all had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive. To survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope that everything happens for a reason and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone that meets her. Best-selling author Lynn Barrington says, "If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story from the heart. It is inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light." 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch, says, "Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror. As the Bible states, you will be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through." Order your copy today from the author's website, onearmoneleg100words.com. And Dave and Charlene will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy.
So is it possible for caregivers to look forward to getting up and going to work and do some?
Are you talking about paid caregivers or the volunteer caregivers?
Good point. So let's go with paid.
Oh, I'm sure paid caregivers have many days that they do not want to go to work.
No, but look forward to it. I mean, are happy and can't wait to get up and go.
I think it depends. It depends if they have a good patient. It depends on how healthy they are and how good of a caregiver they are. I've heard of people, paid caregivers, who come home because when I first, let me say this first, When I first heard that paid caregivers suffered from burnout, I was shocked. I didn't expect it. And I'm still getting an echo, Blaine. Yep. I don't know if there's something. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I hear you great.
Sounds only in your headphones? Or is there another place you're hearing me?
No, no, just you and the headphones.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well, hopefully nobody else is hearing an echo.
I don't think so. Okay.
So I was shocked that paid caregivers suffer from burnout. Does that shock you or no?
It actually does. I'd never heard of it because they just seem, they just seem happy.
It's like a job.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go do your job, you know? Yeah. No, so apparently the really good caregivers, the paid caregivers, are the ones that we're talking about who do it for love, you know? And so they are natural caregivers. So they says, hey, you know, maybe I should just become a paid caregiver. That way I can get paid for doing what I love, right? And what usually happens when we do what we love as a job, then we usually learn to hate what we love. And then we stop doing what we hate, which used to be what we loved. So these people who are paid caregivers who suffer from burnout, I found, were just taking their job too deeply. They would bring it home. They would, you know, instead of leaving their job at the office, they would come home and they would feel bad about what happened today. They would feel bad about the pain that they know that their care receiver is going through in that nursing home while they're resting in a nice bed. They know, oh my gosh, I wonder if the nurse is going to remember to give her the double sleeping pill tonight. Otherwise, she's going to be miserable. She's, you know, and they just go through this and they can't turn it off, you know, and that's not a good thing, obviously. So paid caregivers can absolutely. I forgot your question.
Can paid caregivers can turn it off, but I just wonder if there are bouncy, happy caregivers. The good,
Yes.
Yeah.
So the converse of that is obviously if they're there and they're feeling depressed about it, you know, to go back to a situation, and let's face it, Blade, there are some care receiver situations that are just plain sad. Just you know, they might as well be a country song where there's just no happy ending, no happy start. You know, you hope that God comes and takes them away, takes them out of their misery. They're suffering. You know, the machines are keeping them alive or whatever. Their kids never visit them. It's just, you know, you are their new family because you're the only one you see. And especially if it's dementia or Alzheimer's and the person genuinely thinks that you're the daughter, you know. So it really depends. If it's a good situation, if the caregiver is doing a lot of the right things, then I would think that that caregiver would just love their job and would love coming to work and can't wait to get there. And when they leave, you know, they leave a little reluctantly. Maybe they leave late and they come early, you know, stuff like that. But if that paid caregiver is not taking care of themselves and they're feeling all the wrong things, I would say that they likely are dreading coming to work and they probably need to find a new job.
My brother's a schizophrenic, so he lives in a home with caregivers, 3 or 4 or 5 caregivers. And he's as happy as can be, and the caregivers seem to be happy as can be. And if you think about it, Dave, they've got an easy job. Well, no, it's not that easy, because I don't know. See, well, they make it seem easy. That's how good they are.
Yeah.
Because you got to take them to doctor's appointments, and you got to pick up their poop, and you got to clean up their restroom with their bad habits. Things yeah. caregivers do, that kind of thing. You got to dress them, and then they have these weird episodes, and you have to take them to the hospital and take care of their health, and it's absolutely burnout, you know, But they seem to do well, and all the ones that I know seem to put on a happy face. So
well, and let's talk about being hardwired for. There is a race of people called the Filipinos, and they God just made these people natural caregivers. For some reason, they're just very caring. They're very empathetic. They're culturally in the mode of caring for parents as they get old. You know. And all Asian societies are kind of like that. But Filipinos have invaded this country. And I use that term invaded in a very positive way because thank God for them. Because you go to nursing homes and it seems like almost every person that's in there has a Filipino caregiver because they have a reputation for being great and for being compassionate and just loving their patient and not just treating it as a job. So like I said, it depends on the person, depends on the care receiver. There's no one short answer for all.
Okay. And that being said, so do you ever get used to picking up patients or clients, I guess you could say, depending on what kind of person you are, their excrement, you know, and they go to the bathroom sometimes? You ever get used to that? It's not that big a deal if you think about it. It really isn't.
We do it for our dog, don't we?
That's what I was going to say. I do it for the dog all the time.
I had a nickel for every dog poop that I have picked up in my lifetime.
In all shapes and forms and sizes.
Yeah, and all my dogs are housebroken, so it's like, what's going on here?
Well, could you tell yourself that?
No, I don't have to tell myself that because I am very blessed in that my wife is not that bad of a care receiver. She's very independent. She bathes herself. She cooks. She does the laundry. She goes to the bathroom without any problems, without any assistance. I mean, I am one lucky dog.
That's luck.
Because she's 70. She's going to be 73 in a couple of months. I'm 62. And sometimes she's in better shape than me. I mean, I'm nursing this herniated disc that I have a lot of pain. I can't stand or walk for more than 5 minutes without having to sit down and rest. This has just really slowed me down, slowed down my lifestyle. And it's an adjustment for me. And so, you know, I just think of her. Well, how would you like to have duct tape over your mouth 24 hours a day for 20 years? How would you like to have your right arm and your right leg, you know, tied behind your back so that you have to stay in a wheelchair 24/7. So, excuse me, I snap out of that pity potty stuff really fast.
Pity potty, I like that. That's good.
Pity potty, yes.
Pity potty, I like that.
Yeah, it's for some reason the human person, the human psyche, the human brain, the human mind loves to feel sorry for themselves and have a pity party. Pity party while you're sitting on the pity potty, and you like to invite people, and only the devil and the demons show up at that pity party. And they say, oh yeah, you're right. You know, they encourage you in your negative self, whatever it's called. I'm at a loss for words right now. So don't have those parties because no good person ever shows up to them. It's better to just get up, brush yourself off, and there's that song, wipe yourself, sit yourself down, wipe yourself off, and start all over again. There you go.
There you go. You got it. Yeah. And, okay. And so, is it really depressing when one of your caregivees dies, or is it a relief?
Well, again, that depends on the caregiver because there's this thing called anticipatory grief. You know, we suffer grief when we lose something, and that's natural. We expect that. When someone dies, there's loss. When your girlfriend dumps you, there's loss. You know, when the doctor tells you have cancer and 3 weeks to live, there's loss. When you have to file bankruptcy, you know, all these things start you down this road of the grief process, you know, the denial, the anger, the loneliness, the bargaining, the depression, and then finally the acceptance. But in many people, death is certain. We just don't know when. So perhaps you're caring for someone that should have died 7 months ago, so they're living on borrowed time. And it's like, so in your mind, you've already kind of reconciled that they're gone. Or maybe in my wife's sake, the real wife, Charlene, who could speak and have a personality and have a conversation and talk about deep things, she died a long time ago because she's not here anymore. So in a way, part of her has already died. And when the rest of her dies, you know, and I've thought about this a lot, you know, how will I react? You know, will I be broken up? Will I be, you know, and I try to put myself in that position. And it's just hard because sometimes we just don't know how we're going to respond. I even ask myself questions, you know, would I ever marry again? And I can't even answer that question because you just don't know where your head's going to be at. It's like the girl who was going steady with some guy for 5 years, you know, and they're engaged to be married. She's got a ring on her finger. And then one day he just says, you know what? this isn't for me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I led. And he leaves, you know, and she's like devastated. Now her whole future is like, oh my God. So she grieves for a couple of years, gets through it, thinks she's over it, met another guy, engaged to be married. In fact, they're planning the wedding's in 3 weeks. And so she's walking down the block, going to, you know, look at a dress, and she sees him on the street. And all of a sudden she collapses and has a breakdown, and she can't stop crying. And she says, oh my God, because she found out from a friend, I told the story wrong a little. She found out a friend that he's getting married again, or not again, but he's getting married. And this is when she breaks down. She thought she was over, you know, in her mind told her everything's fine. That's healed. The wound's closed. But then she has this whole grief that's just been torn open again. And she finds out, I thought he just didn't want to get married, but now I realize he just didn't want to marry me, you know? So she took it personally. So sometimes with caregivers, when there's a death and we think we're okay, or it's been a slow, drawn out death, and we think, you know, 90% of the person has died, his brain isn't even there anymore. And then when he finally dies, we think it's going to be no big deal, and it's a big deal. So long answer to a short question.
No, that was good, Dave. That was good. And I wonder if the caregivers give themselves enough credit. We got to get out of here, but how, if they give themselves enough credit and in terms of, I really helped extend that person's life.
Yeah, that's true.
I wonder if they,
no, the who they are, probably doesn't give them the credit they deserve, because they're humble, they're modest, they're, oh no, it's not, you know, it's not me, you know. And so, yeah, they just brush it off their shoulders. But, you know, one day when they get to heaven and all those crowns are piled up in a big mountain, they say, that's for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you deserve it. Mm-hmm. You know?
All right, man, that was fun. Good to know.
It was. Yeah, it's almost like we planned it, huh?
Yeah. And it's never like that. It's never as you planned it.
Yeah, we should maybe not plan all our shows.
They're always the best. It always turns out that way, and I don't know why.
Well, let me give you everybody my website again. It's caregiverscaregiver.com, and just go there, and that's a one-stop shopping for everything. Our YouTube's there, our social media is there. We got videos, we got blogs. Man, we got everything. So caregivers, if you want to take care of yourself, go check out that place and tune in to this radio show. You can either watch it on YouTube or Blab, or listen to the audio only on HealthStar Network. And our website will take you to all those places. So thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani. Join Dave each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, or catch the program anytime, 24/7, right here on HealthStar Worldwide.
And so that concludes the audio portion of our,
right,
of our show. Hey, here's the thing. I did a test yesterday with Bart Rademacher. He did prescription. He's a plastic surgeon. But he, and I looked today, and his show is still on. It's been live for 25 hours. how do you sign off? Do you just X out of
You have to hit the red button that says finished recording, which I just did. And then,
and that's it, right?
Otherwise, it'll keep going, except for when I do a show, it'll cancel in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But apparently, everyone else's shows can just keep going on and on. Someone must still be signed in. He might still be signed in.
I was thinking that once he may still be recording it 21 hours later. That's why it's still there.
Is anyone there talking?
No, hell no. It just is sitting there, and it says live when you look it up. Name is Bart Rademacher, and it's live. It's still live. And I think that's because he's still recording it.
But is it a radio show or no?
What?
Is it a radio show?
It was a test.
Oh, it was a test show.
Yeah, but it's still a radio show, you know, no matter how you look at it. But, I mean, if you look it up, they're both still live.
Yeah, he needs to stop the recording. See that little red in the left-hand side? Oh, yeah. Can you see where my mouse is? See that.
Oh, yeah, I got to run. I got to go. But
all right.
A few edits to do, but I'll make them, and then I'll send them on over and get them posted.
All right, and yeah, send me the drop link, drop boxes.
I will. Let me finalize the 12 noon thing. Is that okay? You want me to throw that to Ed? I'm sure he'll be fine with it, but let me do that.
Otherwise, we can't have Adrian.
Okay.
she's in this writing class, and that's when it is. And she really wants to make it,
okay.
But she can't.
Got it.
Unless change.
So 12 works? Okay, good. I'll bring that up right away, and I'll
yeah.
let you know.
And she's the best part of my show. You know, mm-hmm. I like her, and she's great. And she's got 144,000 likes on Facebook now. Amazing. She's a huge audience.
That's ridiculous.
It is.
Okay. I don't even think Star Worldwide has that. I don't know. How many do we have?
Where do I need to find that out?
I'll look it up. I think we're in the 20,000.
Are you talking about your Facebook page?
Yeah.
No, I only have like 3,000.
I don't even know that. Okay. All right, Dave. Sounds
Thanks.
Good. Good job. And we'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.